This is part 19 of First Things First. Last time I told you, I never taught an 18-part message, so you know I never taught a 19-part. But it's entitled, it's subtitled, Settled Forever. Say, Settled Forever. Well, we're going to start out down the same path and branch off. So if you go, please, to Hebrews 11:6. And then Matthew 6:31-33. I'm going to share Hebrews 11:6 out of the J.B. Phillips New Testament. And I'm going to share Matthew 6:31 out of the Johnson paraphrase and probably out of the King James also. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. That God exists. And secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try and find God." When you get diagnosis or diagnoses, the first thing you say is, "I know God exists. And I know it's worth my while to search him out in this and find out what he wants me to do. I know it, so that's what I'm going to do." Matthew 6:31-33, I like this translation of this passage, the Johnson paraphrase. Jesus said, "Again, I repeat," which means he said it before, and for whatever reason, it didn't take. So he says, "Again, I repeat, do not live with anxiety." Say, "I will not live with anxiety." He says, "Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will we get our clothes? When is my healing going to manifest?" All this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. I know that's a strong statement, but it's a true statement. If we're going around looking for stuff and things, we are unaware of God's presence. We're unaware of his promises. I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware of all your physical needs. Then he gives us some instructions. You are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to settling all your relationships right. When you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. When our first priority is the spirit dimension and getting all of our affairs and things in order, we'll have the right perspective. And once we have the right perspective, these things will take care of themselves. Well, how is that going to happen? You're not going to be concerned about them. Question I've asked a number of times, and I'm going to ask again today. Is there a scripture that tells us that God removed the thorn from Paul's flesh? So what happened? Paul got a proper perspective. And what he was going through didn't matter. It didn't matter. It just worked itself out. He never complained about it. And this is something that was so antagonizing to him that he went to God three times. "Take this away." God said, "My grace is sufficient. It's enough." Paul said, "I got it." He changed his perspective. And those things take care of themselves. Matthew 6:31 in the traditional King James Version says, "Therefore take no thought," saying, that shows us a pattern. First we think about it, then it comes out of our mouth. Once it comes out of our mouth, then we create a whole lot of trouble for ourselves. It says, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But, that means, instead of thinking about all that other stuff, seek ye first. Seek ye when? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. Now, we've looked at this over the last 19 sessions in a number of different ways. And we did that because we needed to establish that regardless of what's going on, regardless of what happens, we're to seek first God, God's kingdom, God's perspective, no matter what. No matter what. Because his is really the only perspective that matters. I never can ever recall concerning myself with something someone said who didn't care about me. I didn't care what they said. They've shown no love for me. So they don't deserve my care. Since I became a believer, my thoughts were, what does Dad think of me? What does Dad think about what I'm doing right now? What does he think about what I'm thinking right now? What does he think about how I'm feeling right now? I have to keep a proper perspective because I want things to just work out. But as I was reading over scriptures last night, thought came. Look at James 1. Because I kept saying to myself over and over, and I literally do this sometimes, I sit there and I say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. 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 And I would do things like that. I'll just keep repeating it over and over and over. And often something additional comes. What came was, Gregory, yes, my word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want to give you a different thought. Seek ye only the kingdom of God. Seek ye only the kingdom of God. He said there's a lot of things out there that you can consider. There's a lot of folks out there claiming to have wisdom, to have the answer. And I didn't say, first seek the kingdom of God, then go and compare it to other things. I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God with the intent that you seek me only, because I'm the only one that has the purpose and plan for your life. So I'm the only one who can tell you exactly what you need to know so you can have the life that I've prepared for you. And I'm sitting there going, seek ye only the kingdom of God. Seek ye only. And then James 1 came. Verse 5 to 8, King James Version. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wind of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So God was showing me that I'm to seek him first and forget about what anyone else has to say about it. Because they ain't God. So why would I go to God? Why would I go to the source? Why should I go to the one that knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb? And then after I get his wisdom, go bounce it off someone else. This is what God told me. What do you think? I think I'm not God. People come, they send me letters, emails. I had a dream. Can you interpret this dream for me? Well, I'm Gregory, not Daniel. But my honest thought is, I didn't give you the dream. So I think you need to go to, who gave you the dream? God. Well, I think you need to go to God and ask him what that dream means, if anything. It could have been that pizza with everything that you ate before you went to bed. But seriously, when folks come in with that, you need to go to the one who gave you the information in the first place. I could tell you what I thought he meant or it meant. Whenever I think of dreams, I think of growing up, and mommy would always play the numbers. I never understood it, but I valued my teeth. So I just went down and played the number, made sure I got it right. And then she sent me to the store to buy dream books. Any of y'all know what dream books are? I heard that. I don't know what it is, but I heard of them. Well, a dream book, you look up the dream, and that dream would tell you what number was going to come out. Now, I got into a lot of trouble because of dream books. I learned to enjoy the taste of ice cubes on my lip because I couldn't keep my mouth closed. Or I should say I wouldn't keep my mouth closed. I would say, Mommy, I don't understand. You said this dream book is true. Yes, it's true. So why do we need three different ones? Why'd you hit me? You're being smart. No, I'm just asking a question. You have me get three different dream books because you wanted to look up fish, and each book gives a different number. All right, I'll just go get the ice bag. But that's what, and then turns out they said, well, if you dream about fish, it means someone's having a baby. I said, well, don't dream about me. See, some of you saw the same books. But my point in telling you that, because a double-minded man is unstable in all your ways. If you believe something is true, why do you need any additional information? You believe it's true. So if I was going to believe that and I didn't, I'd have bought one dream book. And whatever it said, because that's what I believe, then that's what I'm going to do. God said, if you lack wisdom, ask him. And he'll provide it liberally. If you ask me, you won't get a liberal dose. Not because I want to hold anything back, but because I can't give you what I don't have. All I can give you is an opinion. Unless God tells me something very specific to say to you. And I'm going to be very honest with you. You come to me and you ask me something, I'm going to look you smooth in the eye and say, I don't know. God didn't tell me that. But it says a double-minded man is unstable. Ma'am? God doesn't play numbers, Pastor Sarah said. He certainly doesn't espouse dream books. You guys always pull me on this road. I don't understand how someone can believe in dream books and not horoscopes. To me, it comes from the same source. Because they operate the same way. I looked up horoscopes. One time I followed them for about a month, and by following them, I wanted to know what they said concerning my quote-unquote sign. I never read two that said the same thing on the same day. So if I read five different horoscopes on my birthday, I was told five different things. Which one of them? Now, does that leave you in a better place or a worse place? And I said, this stuff isn't real. Because if it were real, it would be consistent. Horoscopes. That's right. Because that's just what they'll bring you, you try and live by them. See, the implication is that you ask God, is not that you just ask God first, it's that you ask him only. You write that down. Don't ask God first, ask him only. Because as I said, the scripture doesn't say if you lack wisdom, ask two or three people and you know, figure out which is the best one. No, it says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye only the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you get God's wisdom and you run with it. But that's why it said you got to ask in faith. Because if you don't ask in faith, you're not going to believe what God said. And you're going to think you need another opinion. And think about our reasons for getting other opinions. I'm not sure if what God said is so, but I know this lady that's real spiritual. And I know she hears from God, so I'll ask her. What does the commandment say? Thou shalt have no other God. And if you don't think that your God has the answer, you're serving the wrong God. Your attitude needs to be, I'm going to God, and whatever he says, this is it. This is it. And once you've done that, there's only one other thing left to do. Or I should say, there's only one other thing that you need once you go to God and get his wisdom. Obedience. Why do you say that? You need to do what he said. It's that simple. We have to stop taking what God said and putting it on the shelf because it doesn't line up with what we feel we want to do. Folks have told me, I talked to God. What did he give you information? Yes. What did you do? Well, I'm not sure, so I put it on the shelf. Time out here. You asked God. Yes. He gave you information. Yes. And you put it on the shelf? Why did you ask him? Take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So there isn't anything that you can ever need that your heavenly Father doesn't already know and hasn't already made provisions for. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I like to think I'm a rational person. I know some of you don't agree with that. That's okay. I like to know. I don't need to know, but often I like to know why. If anyone, you can ask any of the former LCA students, anytime they did anything and they came to my office, the first question I asked them was, why'd you do that? That's what I asked. I didn't ask what happened, why'd you do it? And I would not accept, Mr. Carr, I don't know. I wouldn't accept that. And those that said to me, I don't know, I said, so what you're saying to me is, you're a dangerous human being and you need to be locked up. And they'd look at me with their little beady eyes, locked up? What? Because you're just subject to do things for no reason. And you don't know why, nor can you control yourself. We can't let you walk around. You're a danger to other people. No, I was just thinking, oh, so you do know why. Because if you know why, most of the times, you'll know what to do. You'll know how to figure it out. You'll know what you have to change. But if you don't know, where do we start? You don't know. So to me, sometimes knowing why helps me to understand. And then I was reading in Luke 24 where Jesus was talking with his disciples, and the Bible says, then he opened their understanding of the scriptures. He helped them understand what the scriptures were saying. So then I said, oh, so it's okay to sometimes go to God and ask him why. When he chooses to, he'll open up the scriptures so that you'll understand. So in that vein, so we can understand why it's so important to seek first the kingdom of God, I want you to go to Psalm 119. So I want to give you something to consider. The question that I'm addressing is, why should we seek first the kingdom of God? Why should our first priority be the spirit dimension? Why? Verse 89, King James Version. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Think about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Give first priority to the spirit dimension. Why? Because forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And most of you know how I am. That's okay. What do we mean by that? What is settled? It means fixed or established. Unlikely to change. Agreed upon or decided. Having a permanent residence. Not wandering all over the place. Forever, O Lord, thy word is established. Forever, O Lord, thy word is unlikely to change. Forever, O Lord, your word is agreed upon. Forever, O Lord, your word is not wandering. Forever, O Lord, your word has permanent residence. Where it's established, it's unlikely to change. Where is the permanent address of the word? Heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It didn't say forever, O Lord, your word is settled wherever I am. I'm going to show you how it can be like that. But it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, in the spirit dimension, in the kingdom of God. That's the place where God's word is forever settled. Why is that important? Well, if you are where God's settled word is, and you're just feeding on the word of God that's settled forever, what do you become? What do you become? 1, 2, 3, 4, okay. What about the rest of you? If you're where the settled word of God is, and you keep your eyes on the settled word of God, what do you become? Settled. You become settled. Nothing rattles you. Nothing rattles the word. It says forever, your word is settled. It doesn't wander off. Maybe this is so, maybe that's so. No, it knows. It's settled. Nothing can unseat it from its place in heaven because it's settled. And God is telling us, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness. Let your first priority be the spirit dimension. Why, God? That's where my word is. And that's where you'll find your spirits being settled. Because my word is settled forever. That means nothing will ever shake the word loose from where it resides in heaven. Since we know that God's word is settled, if I stay heavenly minded, then I stay as settled as the word is in heaven. If I stay heavenly minded. Doesn't the scripture in Romans tell, at least Romans 8, tell us to be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if I stay spiritually minded, if I stay settled, if I allow myself to settle in on the word that's already settled, all I'll have is life and peace. Which, that's what I want. I'd like to think that's what everybody wants. Look at Isaiah 26. Amplified Classic. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both in inclination and its character, is stayed on you. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. That's what it says. If I stay where the settled word of God is, and I keep my mind in both its inclinations and its character, what it thinks about doing and what it does, if I keep that stayed on the word that's established in heaven, I'll stay established. I won't give up. I won't give in, because I'll be settled, just like the word is. Look at Luke 4. I'm just going to share some things down to verse 13. I like seeing things in action. It says, then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in by the Holy Spirit. Now think about it. Jesus was full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And he was led in the Spirit by the Spirit. He was led in the Spirit. So he was in the Spirit being led by the Spirit. We should be living our lives in the Spirit, and being led by the Spirit. Because he's the prototype. It was because that he was in the Spirit, where God's word is settled forever, that means that then his Spirit also had to be settled forever, which means no matter what you face, you stay settled. And no matter what comes, it's unlikely that you'll change, because you're settled. You're settled. Your thoughts, your intents, your faith does not waver. Why? You're settled. Why are you settled? Because you're spending time abiding in the same place where God's settled word is. You can't be in that place and have it not have an effect on you. Jesus was in that place, and he decided to stay there. He knew, because he was settled, no matter what comes, you maintain your permanent residency in heaven. No matter what comes. Verse 2. For during 40 days in the wilderness, in the desert, where he was tempted, tried, tested exceedingly by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were completed, he was hungry. He was hungry, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, order this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. Now, let me ask you a question. What happened with Jesus just before that? Before he was led in the Spirit, by the Spirit, what did he go through? He was water baptized. And the heavens opened. And God's voice came down. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. If that's you, what are you thinking? Is there anyone in here honest enough to admit they'd be thinking, I'm the Son of God? God just said, he's well pleased in me. And the next thing you know, you're on a 40-day fast being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. 1 minute, this is my beloved son. Next minute, I'm hungry. And I'm being tempted. I haven't found any indication where God said to him, I'm going to announce who you are, and I'm immediately going to put you in the throes of temptation. What's my point? He didn't expect it. Too many of us get thrown because something happens. Say, I never expected this to happen. He never expected that he was going to have to fast for 40 days and every single day, all day long, be tempted by the devil. And you've just been announced as the Son of God, in whom God is well pleased. Some people may have thought, doesn't sound like you're well pleased with me. Put me in here to be tempted, knowing I haven't eaten anything. Everybody knows you need to have some nourishment in your body so you can at least have strength to fight. I mean, several thousand years from now, they're going to write a song called Too Weak to Fight. They'll be writing about me. Why did the devil tempt Jesus with food? He was hungry. The devil is going to tempt you. I feel comfortable saying the devil is always going to tempt you with something that you say you need, with something that you think you're lacking. Why? Because he knows that's what will work. But Jesus was hungry, but he didn't give in to the anxiety of hunger. He replied, it is written, man shall not live and be sustained by or on bread alone, but by every word and expression of God. How do you say something like that? When you haven't eaten for 40 days and you're hungry. I haven't eaten breakfast yet. My stomach is growling. I'm uncomfortable. And it hasn't been 40. It hasn't even been 40 hours. But Jesus' position was, I have some things settled. It's settled. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I don't need to seek bread. I need to seek the word, the settled word of God. And it's because he sought that settled word that he was able to respond. Not only to that, but also to power. Because it says the devil took him up to a high tower and showed him all the kingdoms of the habitable world in a moment of time, in a twinkling of an eye, and said, to you, I will give all this power. Now, mind you, God just said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But he said, I will give you all this power and authority and their glory, all their magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, and grace. For it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whom I will. Therefore, if you will just do homage to and worship me, just once, it'll all be yours. And Jesus replied, get behind me, Satan. It is written. That's that word that was settled in heaven, came out of him. You shall do homage to and worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The first thing he said to Satan was, get thee behind me. Find a verse that said Satan immediately went behind him. It's not there. Why? Because Satan stayed in his face. Stayed in his face. Why? Wanted Jesus to think that the word doesn't work. But Jesus was settled. Because the word he had been feasting on was settled. Remember I tell you, you have to know who you are? Verse 9, then he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the gable of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. If you are the Son of God. Obviously, Satan didn't hear God say, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But guess who did hear it? Jesus heard what God had to say about him, and he believed it, and it was settled. What has God said about you? Do you believe it? Is it settled? Because if you believe it, and it is settled, it doesn't matter if the devil doesn't know it. You want to get somebody in a roar, call them outside their name. Sometimes I watch these judge programs, and these people get into trouble. Well, why did you assault her? You're calling me all out of my name. Is that your name? No, then why'd you answer? Someone called me out of your name, then they weren't talking to you. If you look at me and say, Thomas, I'm going to ignore you. Because Thomas ain't my name. Never gone by the name of Thomas. So the devil says, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. Well, Jesus demonstrated he wasn't that he didn't have to prove that. You can say, okay, watch this. He already had a word from God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. God has already said, the Lord will fight for you. Hold your peace. Remain at rest. Why did he say that? So when situations come, we would stay settled. And it says, when the devil had ended the complete cycle of temptation. The complete cycle. The devil's not going to try one thing and that's not going to work. He's got a whole agenda for each one of us. And every time he comes at us, he's going to come with his entire agenda. You know why? Because he wants you to become unsettled. And the only way you can become unsettled is that if you don't believe that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, then you make it your business to seek first heaven. You make it your business that your first priority is the spirit dimension, not the natural dimension. Jesus was able to deal with all of this unexpected stuff. Because he had already committed to seeking first the kingdom of God. And he had the kingdom of God in him. That's why it said when we started out in verse 4, in chapter 4, that Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. So if you're full of the Holy Spirit, then guess what? You should stay settled no matter what comes. Because forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. That's why God wants us to seek first his kingdom, seek first his righteousness, give first priority to the spirit dimension, because that's where the settled word is. And when we make a choice to abide in that same place, guess what we'll become? Settled. Settled. And even though something unexpected comes up, it won't throw you. It won't shake you. Because you're settled. Remember the wise man that built his house on a rock. The winds came, the storms came, and shook that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. Jesus is telling us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness because it's established on the rock. On the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Doesn't say unless you were surprised. Unless the unexpected happened. No. Expect the gates of hell to try to prevail against the church. Because the only way the gates of hell cannot prevail is when it tries and fails. That's the only way it's going to happen. Just like you cannot be a victor. You cannot experience a victory unless you're in some sort of competition. No one's going to just walk up to you and give you a trophy and say you won. Well, years ago they used to do that and it made a mess of things. But you don't get a participation trophy. Folks, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is unlikely to change in heaven. Forever, O Lord, the word is agreed upon in heaven. Forever, O Lord, the word is not wandering in heaven. It's fixed. It stays what it is. Forever, O Lord, thy word has permanent residence in heaven. If you understand that, though anxiety, the opportunity for anxieties will come, you'll never be anxious. You'll never be anxious. Jesus had something much, much, much more stronger than any degree of anxiety. He had the settled word of God. You know what? You have it too. Look at your neighbor. Say, I have great news for you. You have right now the settled word of God. So stay settled. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know there's absolutely no reason for us to ever be anxious about anything. Because forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And you gave me instructions to seek first heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let my first priority be the spirit dimension, because that's where your settled word is. And no matter what happens, when I seek first your kingdom, when I give first priority to the spirit dimension, I come in contact with that settled word. And I become settled. I can stay steady. I don't have to go wandering about. I know my identity in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us all we're your children. We have your nature, and every single promise that you made to us, we have. And we believe it's absolutely true. So we thank you, Lord, for reminding us who we are, whose we are, and what we have as your child. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Are you settled? Well, the rest of you will be. Just listen to the stream. Listen to it again. And you'll start feeling like you're settled. Because I choose to believe what the word says. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And because I'm in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, your word is settled in me. Amen. Is there anyone here and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior? Or I don't know, maybe there's someone out there, you're sitting home watching, and you're saying, I want to be settled. Step one in the settling process, you have to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Why? Well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father unless he comes through me. That's all. Well, how do you get there? Through Christ. Also easy. Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's that simple. So why don't everyone say this? Father God, I believe that you are God, creator of the heavens and earth. And I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried in my place and went to hell. And I also believe that after spending 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I'm asking you, come into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friends, as we made that confession, according to the Bible, you just got born again. Jesus just came to live in your heart. And now you can be in that place where forever, where we can say about you, you're settled. You're as settled as the word is in heaven. All that's left is for you to find out some additional information as to who you've become in Christ. So if you're here in this assembly, just make yourself known. You can wave your hands and the deacons will search you out and take you to a place and give you some free information. If you're online, use the contact us info. Send it and contact us. We'll send you the free information. But if you have any questions about anything that we talked about today, use the same contact information. I promise I'll get back to you. May not be to, you know, the same day, but I will get back to you.